Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. This radio show is almost to the day 6 years old. That means full 6 years of radio shows, give or take a few weeks when I didn't have an interview. So I'd really like for you to join me in your heart and maybe in your voice by singing happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear radio show, happy birthday to you, and happy birthday to all those people who have been listening with me and to me and through me all these years. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I've grown so much from my interviews. I've had wonderful experiences in being desperate for an interview and then having somebody just show up. And I've also been a little wondering sometimes when interviews don't happen at the right time and feeling like maybe this is my time to shut it down. But, you know, I'm not there yet. Somehow I just feel that there is something else that's wanting to come through this radio show that's emerging. And today, I don't have an interviewee. I've asked a few people and it's not their time yet to be interviewed. But I wanted to be with you and talk about Reiki. I've been having wonderful times on the Facebook page, much to my surprise, because you know that I wasn't really happy with being on Facebook page, and last September I decided to go for it because it just seemed like I was just being resistant for no reason, except my own personal fears about what it would be like to have a Facebook page. And could I be of service on the Facebook page, or would I be enslaved by the Facebook page? So it's turned out that I can be in service, and that I've gotten many great insights from being on the Facebook page. And one of them is about this idea of friendship. When I grew up, friendship was a very serious kind of thing, and in the Reiki community, I've met many, many people who have relationship with their friend or many friends that they've gone to school with from the age of 5 or 6 years old, and they're now 70, and they still get together with these people and talk about their lives and share themselves in a way, of course, that doesn't happen really with friends who are a year or two old. And I hope, maybe, not with friends that are a month or two old and friends that you've never met, like on Facebook. So it's still my theory that meeting in person, growing up with people, and having shared experiences in life create a kind of friendship that and a bond between two human beings that is very important. And then if you add Reiki to that, like a Reiki practice where you share Reiki together, that also creates another kind of bond that's energetic. Somebody told me recently that in some countries where the family unit is very closely connected and the families live in very close proximity and see each other, like say once a week or once every 2 weeks at the least, and sometimes more, that your first friends are like your cousins, the people who are your age, in the family. And I thought about this and I realized that was true. And this last month I was in Hawaii in June, and it was Naomi Nishida's birthday on June 3rd, and we were all there, the family was all there gathered to put her urn, where her ashes were, into the ground, because she died last year of cancer. And it was a very traumatic experience for me, because she and I had grown very close over the last 10 years. I regretted not having a kind of lifelong cousin experience that was very close, because she lived in Hawaii and I lived in Iowa, and it's very far away. And our lives were just so different socially, in the sense that the Hawaiian childhood is a very different childhood than, I think, growing up in Iowa. Although they're both farming, they were both farming communities. So that was really interesting for me, to get to know her in our later years, and to be able to appreciate the person that she was, how incredible her compassion was for people, and how dedicated she was to allowing people to have a better life for themselves through her teaching and through her administration in the school systems. And also just being Naomi. And then there are these friends, of course, that we meet in school and connect and have trust in and carry on our relationship through all these years. And I'm getting to have a relationship with three other women who have accompanied me all the way through school, and I'm really amazed at the kind of response that I'm receiving from my schoolmates. I don't know what this particular thing is that's happening, but I know that it's really been healing for me. And I'm just so touched by this connection. And then I have my friends, of course, in my Reiki family, some of which are over 30 years old now. And these are really the most amazing friendships. Because still, after 30 years, I don't know much about them as a family person, or as a student, or in the sense of, you know, being in school. But I know a deep part of themselves, which is this connection, that is the spirit connection that we have through Reiki. And I see that the quality of this connection is very different. So there's a part of me that would really love to have my friends who are older receive Reiki, right? So that's not happened, and it's also very interesting to see the qualities of both come inside of me and fulfill different parts or different needs that I have. And then I have introduced in the last 9 months these friends from Facebook, and what I have been struck with is this question that I've had for many, many years in my own practice. You know, and I have to back up a long ways and take you back into the first days of my becoming a master. Well, you know, in 1979, when I was initiated as a master and was traveling with my grandmother, Hawaii Otakata, she was the Reiki master that we all knew. And this was, you know, for us in human form, the source of Reiki. And we were told about the lineage, and after a while, these people became a part of my Reiki family, because they became alive. And especially after I started teaching myself and telling the story, these people grew inside of me in substance. And even though Mikao Usui And Chijiro Hayashi had not been in human body for a very long time. Well, anyway, several decades. It just felt like their spirit was alive in me. And it isn't like I knew them personally, but I knew them, you know, in this essence place where we all shared this passion and this dedication for Reiki. And then I began to look around and realized that those people that I had in my classes that were students that I had shared Reiki with, and also then masters that I had prepared and held under my wing, so to speak, as having initiated them and then having them be a part of this lineage on a master level. This awareness in me grew and grew until sometimes I felt that I was closer to my Reiki family than I was to my blood family. And at some point I realized that this was kind of backwards, or at least they should be equal in importance or in a place inside of myself. So I began to cultivate my blood family relationships, and now they're very rich and very beautiful, and I'm really excited by the richness and the joy that comes from having both of these families live inside of me. And the question that came up for me in the 1990s was, am I a master of Usuishiki Ryoho? Am I a Reiki master? Am I a master only of the students that I initiate? Or am I of service to all Reiki students? So this particular question was my practicing question, sort of for my mastery for many, many years. And only through a lot of experience and a lot of process and a lot of observation about the development of the Reiki community in the 1990s, I realized that I was in some way a Reiki master, but I didn't really know what that meant. It didn't mean mastery over Reiki. What it meant was I was committing my life to Reiki in order to live mastery. But I still didn't really know what that meant. It just sounded great and much more clear than my questions about, well, if I'm supposed to be a master of Reiki, like to know everything about Reiki, then I'm not. And so that's really confusing, right? And then I decided that I really wanted to have a really specific audience. You know, I wanted to know who I was offering training for, or who I was going to talk to when I did student gatherings. So I ended up being a master of Usuishiki Ryoho, the system that my grandmother, Hawaii Otakata, passed on to me. And that was really comfortable for all the 1990s and into the 2000s through the millennium shift. And it gave me a really, in some way, a closed community where I could nurture myself, nurture my ideas, nurture my understanding about what Reiki was, have feedback, and be able to come into a conversation that was very nourishing, I believe, for myself as well as for the rest of the community. And then through our internet connections and through email, number one, and through just internet communications and websites and all kinds of things, you know, information began to spread and spread faster and faster. And eventually I realized that I was, I wanted to be of service to Reiki students all over the world, to be able to touch the people that were interested in hearing my voice, literally, figuratively, and maybe even spiritually, and to be able to extend who I was as a master from this kind of safe community that I grew up in, Usuishiki Ryoho, to another community, which meant the whole Reiki community. And of course, by the year 2000, this meant millions of students and perhaps hundreds of different forms of practice and an amazing array of understandings and beliefs and ideas that people had about me and about Reiki and about this form of practice, but about Reiki in general. So I went through my own personal process about understanding that I didn't need to be drawn off my own practice because I was in association with other masters who didn't practice in the same way I did. I think this is really important to say that this was a difficult process. It's still not finished, but I would say I'm maybe, intuitively speaking, 87% out there. I now have to be able to find a common ground upon which to address some of the differences that I that have been made, but also that I feel like they're still impinging on my practice. And how I mean this is that I feel much more comfortable with people who say, well, this is my Reiki practice, and in some way it doesn't have anything to do with yours. And what we have in common is this incredible feeling of having a Reiki treatment, however that is done, whether it's hands-on, whether it's with symbols, whether it's when 20 symbols, whether it's hands off the body, whether it's whatever the form takes, that there is this common factor of having experienced Reiki in our lives, having experienced Reiki treatments, and being able to connect on this level. So what I'm learning about is maybe using the word virtual, but in a very different way. Because virtual at some point seemed to be almost imaginary, like my virtual network, you know, my virtual exercise of being in my head and riding my bicycle for 5 miles every day, was that really exercise? Well, I still don't believe that I can get the same body awareness and the same body conditioning with virtual bike riding as I can with real bike riding. But I do believe now that the virtual community on the internet, like through Facebook and so on, really is real because of my experience in Facebook. And now there are about 1,700 people, I think, as my friends on Facebook. And I believe that a vast majority of them, like say maybe 95% of them, have Reiki of some kind. And that we share this passion for making the world a better place, for making, finding inside of ourselves our authentic selves, being able to connect and communicate with each other authentically, wanting to share this gift with others who may not be able to access this for themselves, and so on. I mean, we have a lot of things in common, and I really love the sharing that's going on. Sometimes it's scary because I feel like sometimes I want to control things, and then I just get that there's no way to do that. Like if I put a picture up on my Facebook page, it's public, and I mean public in a sense that 50 years ago we wouldn't have even dreamed about being in public. So public means that millions of people have access to this picture, and I need to be aware of that. Millions of people have access to the words that I speak on my Facebook page, and I want to be aware of that. Millions of people can be touched by posts that go up on my Facebook page. Not that they are, but the probability and possibility is there. And when I think about millions of people practicing Reiki in every country of the world and having the same sort of questions, and perhaps, I believe, receiving the same sort of answers from their practice, it feels like there is this network, energetic network that is happening out there that is beyond our understanding and perhaps even beyond our being able to really get it on a visceral level, on a physical level. Because, so this is where I am right now and in my physical body. So I've been, as you know, having to concentrate a little bit more on my physical body lately because of the metastasis of my cancer. And I just want all of you to know that I'm feeling great. I'm really living a very busy life, and I feel wonderful, and I take care of myself. And last night, for instance, I really got kind of frantic about, I've had visitors coming this afternoon, and I got kind of frantic about whether or not I should stay home from this movie. But I went to this movie called 20 Steps from Stardom. And it's a kind of documentary movie about the backup singers for when Motown and rock and roll emerged, that the backup singers really were the sound and were part of the energy that created the stars, and that some of them wanted to be a star and some couldn't quite make it because their personality wasn't available to do that. But then there were other people who were really happy and joyous to be backup singers because they got to blend with the other backup singers and create a sound and be creative in their sound. So they would move from like the Beatles to Jerry Lee Lewis to Motown, and they would have all these different sounds inside of themselves. It was an amazing time. And it just brought me back to, of course, the music that I grew up with, but also to this place of knowing who we are, knowing, really finding out who we are. Are we truly backup singers, and is that secondary? Well, absolutely not. And a lot of these women and men who were backup singers loved their jobs. They loved music. It was a gift that they shared. And it was a gift that they could be a backup singer because the stars couldn't be backup singers. They had to be stars, right? There's this wonderful word in Hawaiian. The word is kuleana. And this is my definition of this word, kuleana. It's like it's used in conversation when somebody says, well, that's really not my kuleana. You know, it's not what I was born to do. And, you know, in this physical body of mine, I realized that, you know, I was born in this physical body, and it gave me, already at birth, some really interesting lessons to work through. And, because of those, I grew into a person who could step into being the recognized successor of Hawaii Ōtākata, whatever that means, and to being a Reiki master through family connection, which is not easy. There's a lot of envy in me sometimes to have, quote, chosen to take Reiki and chosen to be a Reiki master. But then there are other gifts that I've had in having Reiki come to me through my family. So my body in some way defines me. It defines definitely what people see, you know, the shape and the impressions that they have. But it also defines the kind of person I am. Like, I was never a physically active person because of my congenital, you know, things that I was born with, the things that I came into the world with. And so I wasn't a runner, and I didn't have good eyesight, so I didn't catch a ball very well. And I was more of a reader and maybe even a voyeur in the sense of, you know, reading and accumulating experiences through reading rather than doing. So it was, you know, it was an interesting way of being, and I always envied and wanted to be some other body. I wanted to be strong, tall, and slender. Well, that's never going to happen. And only a few years ago did I figure that one out. That really, I mean, you know, I always thought, well, if I just lose weight, you know, I'll just be a miniature one of these people. But it's not happening. I mean, not that I can't lose weight, but that, you know, this person that I have in mind is somebody out there that needs to come inside of me and be personified on another level, not in the physical realm. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, it's just an interesting process, and I feel that sometimes now in our communities, we get very attached to our physical body, like who is a member of some association, or who is not a member of some association, or what does this body look like? What are the boundaries of this body? And it isn't that I want to just throw these things out the window. Like, you know, I'm definitely not throwing my body out the window. It's, except for a few minor dents, like my metastasis, my body's doing great. And there is this, you know, growing experience of finding a stable foundation, finding joy, finding peace, finding sort of the reason that I'm here, my kuleana, you know, why I was born, what my true vocation is, and how to live that vocation without harming myself or other people. So I feel in our associations, in our groupings, you know, and our coming together as a community, is because this is a human need, as far as I'm concerned. The human need is to start from what we might call the individual experience to the group experience. And then now, because of our communication, because of the internet, because of globalization in the finest sense of the word, we are becoming a global society, truly. And nobody can stop this. I mean, the businessmen are trying to control it in a way so that they can make money on it. But even that is not actually working, because globalization, for me, is a natural process of the natural development on this planet. And you can think that you can control it to a certain extent, but what's true is that it will always break down, because control never takes into consideration those weak links. They ignore them, and the weak links are always the strongest place of lesson. That's true about me. The things that I feel wounded about, the things that make me feel vulnerable, the things that I was born with, or that I fantasized and established in my own psyche, all these, treasured wounds, some of us call them. These are our, we can call them, these are our weak points. These are the places that we don't like. But in truth, they are the place of our gift. They are the place of where our strength is. And that's why, for me, when people say vulnerability is our greatest protection, it's not a protection in and of itself. It's not to shut ourselves away from the world and separate ourselves. It's to be open and to come from an inner strength that doesn't depend on anybody else. And nobody can affect that strength but you. If you try to hide it, then of course you're not using it. So in our groups, we try to solve problems by compromise. But I have never found in if I have a broken arm and I don't really like this doctor, so I decide never to go to a doctor to get my arm set, that's a terrible compromise. And that's somehow how it looks to me on the outside when organizations get together and they have these issues within their organization and they're not willing to really bite the bullet, so to say, to have the pain and to discover the wound that is being opened and the wound that is giving them the gift of strength. And this for me is something that is happening now naturally. And it's going to happen, and it's happening to us on a global level. So this global response, to the money market in the United States or in Japan or in Argentina, all of these money things are connected, but money is now this energetic entity, this living, breathing entity in the world. And the more that we don't claim our part of this breathing, living entity, the more we're leaving it to the people who want to control it. And money, this living, breathing entity, is a flow. And that flow, when it's stopped, like anything, stagnates, it rots, and it can just split open like an old, like a dammed up lake, and just flow out over the valley where it was supposed to be flowing through all these years, and create a lot of pain and anxiety for the people below. And that's what happens, figuratively speaking, every day in our communities, because we hoard, we encourage hoarding, and also we just support those people who are in control because we're not willing to take our part in it. And we're learning every day in Reiki that to treat ourselves, to treat others, creates an energy field. And this energy field touches other people and creates change. It's been said over and over again to me that this radio show is a part of this virtual community of Reiki. And I'd really love to think that. In the last 3 years, I've gotten no stats about how many listeners there are, or and I don't get much feedback in the on the Facebook page for the Reiki show about people who wanting to be interviewed, or themes that you would like to hear about. It just really somehow falls to me. But what I've decided to do in this next year, which I really am happy about, is that I'm just going to hold this responsibility very lightly, in the sense that if the flow comes and there are lots of interviews, then, you know, they're going to come and this is what's going to happen. And if the flow somehow settles and there's no interview, then I'm going to just allow that to happen, because in the past it's been really stressful for me. I have felt like I've let you down and that you will not listen to the radio show anymore if there's not a show, you know, in this week, and so on. And it's like kind of a performance anxiety thing. And that's not what the radio show is about for me. It's been a source of joy, learning experience, deep change in me, because I've spoken to some people that I wouldn't normally have spoken to in the outer world, and realized that I have more in common with them than I do differences, and so it changes who I am. It's softened a lot of my boundaries in Reiki. Not that I've changed my practice at all, but it's softened my understanding of human nature and about right and wrong. And I'm really clear that we just do what we need to do, and we do the best that we can do, all of us, and there's nothing else to be done, really. So I'm into my 7th year of having this radio show. When I started 6 years ago, it took me almost a year, calendar year, to actually come to saying yes, and then getting myself together to actually get the first show together. And I want to thank the producer of my shows for the first 2 or 3 years, Randall Levero, who put up with a lot for me and pushed me into a learning curve that I didn't want to be on, and sometimes I flailed around quite a lot. So wherever you are, Randall, thank you. You got me into something that has changed my life. And I want to thank all the people who consented to be interviewed, especially the first interviewers, like Foka Brink, Ruth Wong Pine, Fran Brown, who is now no longer with us, Pamela Miles, Tova Mittgard, Kate Jones, Joyce Winnow, and many, many of the other people who were willing to take this leap with me and to share their understanding of Reiki, and to be able, and I was really happy to be able to bring these people to your attention, so that this energetic field, the part of the energetic field that they held, was released out into the global community of Reiki. I also want to appreciate the people who helped me technically. In the first years when I was with Motivox, that was the Motivox staff, and then a man by the name of Bert, who I can't pronounce his last name, it's very Dutch, he is no longer with us either. He took over and did what I call the engineering. I'm not quite sure if that's the right word. But he would listen to the interviews that I did. He would edit them and upload them, make sure that the e-card was uploaded, and kept me on track. So he did that until about 2.5 years ago, I think, when he passed away very suddenly. He died. And then a man by the name of Dieter Liesebein, from Germany, stepped into his place, and he is often has a helper, Jan Meyer, from the Netherlands, who pinch hits for him every once in a while he's on vacation. And I just want to say thank you, because these men have taken their considerable computer skill and understanding of Reiki and allowed me to just be myself and to be able to interview people, trust that they will edit it how it needs to be edited, taking out the pauses that are not appropriate and leaving in the pauses that are, to be able to modulate the sound so that it comes, so that you can listen to it with the most comfort possible, to be able to handle the interpreted shows that I've done where there are three of us talking together in different languages, and just their steadiness of being there every week, every day for me and for you, with such grace and tenderness, I really, really appreciate it. And thank you, Bert, Jan, and Dieter. And I also want to thank those who have called me, written me emails, sent me little Facebook notes about the radio show, and encourage me to continue, because sometimes I lose track of why I'm doing this, and now I've got it. I'm doing this for myself, and until that motivation dries up, so to speak, I guess that I will be on the air. I'm very excited about this new thing that's happening. I have my website, well, not my website, but we finally gotten a website up for Usui Shiki Ryoho, and that's where my calendar of events is and so on. And there's another piece of the website that hasn't been operable yet, because I'm preparing the things to go in a shopping cart. And part of this shopping cart has to do with that Bert, before he died, put together the first 2.5-3 years of my radio shows onto MP3 files, edited out all the ads and so on from Motivox Productions, and put them on CDs. So there's 6 months of shows in each of the CDs, and those will be for sale through the shopping cart. And I'm going to begin the next process of taking the next 3 years and putting those into MP3 files, but making them downloadable so that people can buy these in a block downloaded, so that they can just download them in a block and be able to have them on something else besides going and doing this one by one. I'm selling them because it's an appropriate thing for me to do now. I feel like I would love to have some. I don't have a need for the radio show to be paid for. It does cost me money to produce the radio show, of course. I don't have any sponsors. And I do have some contributions sometimes. But it would be wonderful to have reciprocal energy. Do you know what I mean? Like a kind of energetic that comes back and says, thank you, or that was really great for me, or this is worthy of my time and energy. And I don't know, there's something about that feels like it comes a full circle then. And I don't know, it's a big question mark for me, because I really wanted this to be of a service thing for the Reiki community. And and there is this question about service and creating again this kind of control factor where the energetic stops, because there's no way for people to return, you know, the energetic. I hope you understand my question, and it's not answered clearly for me now. So perhaps in the seventh year of my show, I will be able to work this out and take the next step. Reiki, as a practice, has swept around the world at a time when I feel like humanity was ripe for it, that we were aware of our need and aware of our willingness to participate. And it was given to us in a package that we could receive without much preparation. Through the last 30 some years, I've realized what a gift that was, to be able to receive a gift of Reiki in a practice that sustains me, teaches me, and develops me on all levels, and allows me to maintain all these levels of friendship, all these levels of connection with human beings. I remember in some of my early days, you know, I had a friend once say to me, you know, my capacity for friendship is 10 people. And you're one of them. And so that gives you a lot of responsibility. And I scratched my head and said, well, I'll do the best I can. And in the ensuing years, in the passing years, what I've realized is that I've met thousands of people. I've maybe been, my voice has maybe been heard by tens of thousands of people. And I have been touched through Reiki, through all the treatments that have been sent to me, through all the questions that have been asked, through all the masters who know me and then speak to their students about me and their experiences with me. This connection is real. It virtually is so. And I welcome this time to just take a pause and recognize this and speak it to you and say, thank you for being a part of my world. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.